Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You've heard it every year, probably since you were a kid. Wear sunscreen. But will any sunscreen safely give you the protection you need against those UV rays? Author Kim Erickson is here today to shine the light on the surprising number of potentially harmful chemicals found in many sunscreens. We'll also talk about the ways to protect ourselves naturally from head to toe. Plus, you'll also learn what SPF really means, the best ingredients to look for, and how to get the most out of that bottle of sunscreen. Obviously, it's very confusing, Kim. You know, a lot of people are learning that they really do need to use sunscreen. I think one of the best motivators for most people is they get a good look at their skin up close and Mother Nature's doing a tap dance across their face, and they start thinking, you know, maybe sunscreen would be a good thing. But is it really?
It's a great tool.
Okay.
But it's just one tool in, you know, keeping yourself safe in the sun. But yeah, I totally agree. I look in the mirror and go, oh my God, who is that? You know, where did that line come from and where is that spot going? So yeah, it's kind of a rude awakening. And you know, dermatologists, doctors, and estheticians, they all say, go get sunscreen. Best cosmetic you can have in the world. But it's still limited. And there are some things you need to be concerned about when it comes to sunscreen as well.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a quick question. Is it a prevention for anything, or is it a symptomatic protector for our body? Does it give us a little bit of protection, or are we seeing some real studies that these sunscreens can actually prevent things?
There are studies that show that it prevents basal cell carcinoma.
Okay.
But surprisingly, there's no proof that sunscreens prevent melanoma.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, we all got on the sunscreen bandwagon about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In those 30 years, melanoma rates have actually tripled.
Wow.
So I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or not. I'm kind of thinking it's not a coincidence. But yeah. So as I said, you know, it's one tool, and it can be a good tool, but it's not the only tool. And depending on the type of sunscreen that you choose, there can be some drawbacks.
Okay, the big word, the three letters that come at us all the time, SPF, Sun Protection Factor. What does that mean?
Okay, well, as you said, it means Sun Protection Factor.
Mm-hmm.
But what that means when you break it down is it's simply referring to the amount of time you can safely stay in the sun. But here's the kicker. It only measures UVB rays, not UVA rays.
Okay. Now, so that means the UVAs are still able to work their way to our skin, even if we're wearing a sunscreen.
Depending on the ingredients.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, first, it's probably good for listeners to understand how SPF works.
Mm-hmm.
And how it doesn't work, because this can be a huge bit of confusion. So theoretically, if you don't have any sunscreen on that you would ordinarily burn after 10 minutes in the sun, using a sunscreen with an SPF of 6 would protect you 6 times longer. Keyword here is theoretically, because by this logic, most people think, oh, so that means a higher the SPF, the longer I'm protected, the more time I can spend in the sun. But in real life, it doesn't work that way. And one reason is because people don't apply it properly. But the other is because the difference in protection of, say, an SPF 50 to an SPF 100 is minimal at best.
You know, and we have to take into consideration, we sweat, we do water, things that were in the water, our clothing wipes things off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question that comes up all the time. How often do you apply this?
Every 2 hours.
Okay, that's really good
Yeah,
information.
which can be a hassle. I mean, let's face it. Especially if you're a woman and you want to put on your face, you've already got your makeup on. It's like, really? I've got to put this stuff on again? So yeah, it's a hassle. But don't think that you can just choose a higher SPF and call it good by putting it on in the morning, because here's the thing is, an SPF 50 will give users 98% protection when used properly.
Okay.
But an SPF 100, which is twice the SPF, only blocks 99% of those same rays.
Wow, for twice the amount.
For twice the amount. So, you know, everybody's running around thinking they're protected, but the reality is you've just got a false sense of security. Oftentimes, it just leads you to spend way more time in the sun than is healthy.
Feeling really comfortable that you're protected.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I wonder how many people are out there on the weekends thinking they have this great protection. I'm using a SPF 100. I'm good all day long. And I know that people do think this. I know they do. You know, think they're protected. And then they come home at the end of the day and they're like, really? I'm burnt? How can I be burnt? I wore an SPF 100. And I know these conversations are going on all over everywhere on a summer day after being out all day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. And you're still, you know, depending on the formulation, you can still be getting overexposure to UVA rays.
Now, sunscreens. How many different kinds of sunscreens are there?
Primarily, there are two types. There's
two
the
kinds.
Chemical sunscreens, and you're going to find those in your drugstores. And then there are the physical sunscreens. The chemical sunscreens, they're usually a chemical combination of anywhere from 2 to 6 different ingredients. And they're the most common that are out there. So it's pretty likely that most people have or have had at least one bottle of the chemical sunscreens at one point or another. But the problem is they can contain some really potentially harmful ingredients that studies show that can damage DNA. It can disrupt hormones. And here's the thing that really scares me. Traces of these chemicals have been found in the urine, blood, and even in mother's milk.
That means that we are transdermally absorbing.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. We're not only transdermally absorbing, but these particular types of chemicals like to kind of hide out in your adipose or your fatty tissue, mm-hmm. and they can hang out there for decades.
What are some of these chemicals people should look for and be afraid of, maybe?
Okay, so when you go to your drugstore and you grab a bottle of sunscreen, flip mm-hmm. it over and look at the label. Some of the ones that you really want to take a closer look at is an ingredient called oxybenzoin. It's in like 70% of chemical sunscreens. It acts like an estrogen in the body.
Oh boy.
And I think we've all heard about estrogen mimics over the last 10, 15 years and how they can affect the reproductive tract. This particular chemical has been linked to altered sperm production. And also a higher risk of endometriosis in women.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, and as I said, you know, it's one of the most common UV filters out there. So it's also, the other thing is it's a common allergen. So a lot of people just, you know, they've got an allergic skin reaction to it oftentimes.
Now
that so that's like the biggie.
The big one. Okay, good.
And there are several others you want to really kind of keep an eye out on. Octinoxate is another one that can affect your hormones. I know these are tongue-twisting words, but if you go to the Environmental Working Group website, which I believe is EWG.org, and you look up their sunscreen guide, it will list all of these chemicals to be on the lookout for so that you can, you know, do your homework before you actually go to the store, print out the page that has the different chemicals so you can check right there on the spot. But this particular chemical also, as I said, affects your hormones, and it can impact reproduction. It can impact your thyroid.
Oh, boy.
And even behavior. So, like, you know, ADHD, that type of thing. Which is, you know, a big deal, especially because a lot of these are in sunscreens designed for kids. And kids, I mean, they're just little sponges. And so, you know, if you start them out loading up these chemicals in their fatty tissue when they're a kid, by the time they're an adult, they will have a significant amount.
And these chemicals do store around in our fatty tissue, so they hang out.
Oh yeah, I mean for years and years, and you can do as many detoxes as you want. That fat hangs on to those chemicals. So homosalate is another chemical that disrupts estrogen, but it also disrupts androgen and progesterone. So it kind of hits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that is, as it breaks down in the body, it also creates some other toxic compounds. So you've got your hormone-disrupting chemicals. There are also chemicals that create free radicals. And free radicals are, I like to call them misbehaving molecules, that are missing an electron. And because of that, they can damage your DNA. And that not only has been implicated in things like cancer, but also skin aging. So one of the really common ones is something that most people wouldn't even think twice about. It's a vitamin A derivative. And, you know, talk to anybody. Hey, vitamin A, it's good for you, right? Not this form. It's called retinol palmitate. And it creates free radicals as it damages DNA, especially when it's exposed to sunlight.
Wow, it's like activated.
Which there are several chemicals in sunscreens that are, you know, photoreactive. So they activate and form free radicals when you're out in the sun, which doesn't really make sense since you're using sunscreen. But some of these preliminary studies on this particular form of vitamin A suggests that it can speed up the development of skin tumors and precancerous lesions by as much as 21%, which is really huge.
Wow.
Other chemicals that can generate free radicals when exposed to sunlight are penetration enhancers. The way chemical sunscreens work is that they need to bind with your skin. That's why a lot of times on the label it will say to apply 30 minutes before going out in the sun. But to do that, it's got to get inside your skin, hence the penetration enhancers. And while they do their job, and they do it really well, they eventually cause more harm than good. Luckily, that's not, chemicals are not the only avenue.
Boy, I bet there's a lot of people that are surprised at this right now. Have been just grabbing one off the shelf and never, ever thought anything but protection.
I know, and that's why reading labels is so essential. And if you've ever read the labels on a sunscreen bottle or any kind of a personal care product, you know that you better bring your magnifying glass because the print is so small. It's virtually impossible to read with the naked eye.
Now, those are chemical sunscreens. You had also mentioned physical sunscreens?
Mm-hmm. Those contain natural minerals.
Okay.
And what the minerals do is they scatter the light across your skin instead of allowing it to penetrate into your epidermis or the outer layer of your skin. Two primary ones are zinc oxide and I think everybody's kind of familiar with zinc, especially if you were a lifeguard way back when. Mm-hmm. Remember those guys with the white noses?
Across the nose, I remember.
That's the zinc oxide.
I remember it well.
It's super effective against both UVA and UVB rays. It's naturally high in SPF. And there's no evidence that it disrupts hormones, which is wonderful. The only problem with zinc oxide is that, you know, you have the white nose effect. So they've managed to break it down into smaller particles so it's got more transparency. You're not going to see it when you put it on your skin. Same with the other mineral that's a big one out there, and that's titanium dioxide. Mm-hmm. It's also effective against both types of radiation, but it's not quite as good as zinc oxide.
These are good protectors. I love the word natural minerals in here because I like anything that brings us back to the earth and back to the natural.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people, though, have heard, you know, about nanoparticles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering, you know, well, are they safe? They've heard that they are doing, you know, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide nanoparticles and sunscreen. They are, but they're not quite so small that they will penetrate and reach your bloodstream. A really good resource for this, again, is Environmental Working Group. And they say that the size and the shape of the zinc oxide particles used in sunscreen are larger, and they're larger deliberately, not for penetration reasons, but the manufacturers keep them larger because they offer better UVA protection. A nice bonus is that the larger particles also lessen absorption into your skin.
Okay. I hope people are really enjoying this. This is such good information. Little tip, remember, stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned here on the show. For more information on skin health and, you know, sunscreens and all this good information and wellness topics in general, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store, packed with well-researched articles, recipes, tips. It's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Hope you'll pick up your copy today. A couple other tips, some books you might want to look into, Max and Mila at the Beach, which is a great book and written for kids, Melanoma, Not Just Skin Cancer by Catherine Poole, a great blog, Sun Care 101, and, of course, the website for the week that Kim has mentioned, ewg.org/sunscreen. I have probably a good feeling that it's going to be a great resource for good information. And the other thing we did kind of mention briefly, but maybe we should mention this one more time. When you're using sunscreen, there must be some good tips for applying and reapplying. I know you had mentioned something about reapplying every 2 hours. But how much do you need? Some people dab it and some people drown their skin in it. Is there a happy medium?
You know, most people don't use sunscreen properly. They don't use nearly enough. It's recommended that you use 1 full ounce, which is equivalent to the size of a shot glass, for all of your exposed body parts.
Okay.
If you use less than that, you know, your SPF automatically goes down. So say instead of using a full ounce, you use 1/4 ounce of an SPF 30. The sunburn protection on the skin drops from 30 to 2.3 SPF.
Wow, that's
and
huge.
It's just because you're not using enough. And like I said before, reapply it every 2 hours, especially if you're at the pool, the beach, hiking, playing golf, out in the garden. I mean, it's easy to get sidetracked. But, you know, set an alarm on your phone just to remind yourself.
I got a question for you. I have a lot of friends that work in the hotels. I have a lot of entertainer friends. They like to go out in the sun during the day. And there's a misconception out there that if you're out walking around and you're out doing your errands and there's sunscreen in your makeup, that you're covered. Should women depend on the sunscreen in their makeup?
Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
You know, it would be nice, and it's a great marketing tool when it says, you know, SPF 15 on the cover. But the truth is that SPF in there is more to protect the makeup than it is to protect you. So, okay. You know, it protects the makeup from breaking down in UV light, but it just doesn't cut it. You really need to apply a sunscreen under your makeup. And then, you know, it's not going to hurt to use makeup with an SPF factor. But don't rely solely on that for protection.
Can I ask you a question? When you get ready in the morning, personally, you're in the desert. When you get ready in the morning, do you use a sunscreen under your makeup? And is it just part of the routine? You put that on, and then after that, you can apply your makeup as normal?
I do. You know, it's serum, moisturizer, sunscreen, and then I go get some coffee.
Okay.
And then I come back, and I do the rest of my makeup routine, and I'm good to go.
See, I have learned that I do the top of my head, my neck, my shoulders, over my ears, down my neck and my face after I shave, down my chest. But I do it every day, and I just think that if men would do it, it would really be a protector as well. But you know, you do it while you're right there, you know, while you're doing all your brushing your teeth and shaving, and you just make it an extra step. You know, it takes so little time, and then it's done.
Absolutely. And if you don't want to, you know, dab more sunscreen over your makeup throughout the day, you know, look around for a spray. Just spray your face every couple of hours if you're going to be out running errands or whatever.
It's a really good solution. How much of a believer are you with really good, we talked about these at the beginning, really good UVA, UVB eye protection? See, I'm really very much into protecting my eyes. And a lot of people outside don't realize that the sun can cause cataracts and cause damage to their eyes. And some people just don't take the time to protect their eyes out in the sun, and they're squinting, which is causing wrinkles too, beside damage.
Absolutely. It's good to you know, slip on the shades, guard against UV damage, but just make sure that your glasses are designed to do that. If you're at high risk, I know they're not gorgeous. They're not the sexy Jackie O sunglasses. But if you are at a high risk for cataracts, get sunglasses that have the sides on them. It just might save you from cataract surgery. But there's other things that you can do, too, to protect both your eyes and your whole body from sun damage. And one of the most interesting ones is protecting yourself from the inside out with supplements.
Mm-hmm.
They've done studies in the recent years on one of them is astaxanthin.
My favorite.
Mine too. I love astaxanthin.
I do too.
It's like this super antioxidant that's found in algae. And I think one of the reasons I love it is because of the story about how it works. It's actually a carotenoid that's responsible for that pink color that happens when salmon or shrimp or flamingos eat it. So, you know, I mean, it's like visible nutrition. It's awesome.
Only we don't turn pink.
No, we don't turn pink. But it does help protect us against UVA rays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this has been shown in several studies. Another carotenoid is lycopene, you know, the one that was so in the news a few years ago from tomatoes. There was one study where it protected a group of middle-aged women against sun damage when taken every day for 12 weeks. So, I mean, how hard is that? You pop a pill, you eat tomatoes, preferably cooked, a few more times a week, and you're automatically ramping up your protection from the sun.
You know, a little side note, and I know you just kind of mentioned it. It's the only time that I recommend cooked vegetables over raw vegetables is when it comes to lycopene and tomatoes. And a lot of people say, well, I eat a lot of tomatoes. And I said, that's great. But did you know that if you made a marinara sauce or if you stewed the tomatoes, you enhance the lycopene by a huge difference? So like a lot of men use lycopene for prostate health, but it's also an amazing antioxidant. But if you stew them or make a marinara sauce, you're going to actually release much more lycopene. And then, like I do, I take it in a supplement. I find that astaxanthin and lycopene and lutein, all of the, and beta carotene, all those wonderful nutrients. How do you feel about green tea?
Oh, I love green tea. I drink green tea all day long. But the catechins and the other antioxidants in green tea were found about 10 years ago or so in studies to protect your DNA from UV damage. So that's a really nice bonus because, you know, you can be out there lounging by the pool and have a nice tall glass of iced green tea and get a little protection too. And preferably you're under an umbrella or a tree while you're doing so.
Or in a cabana.
Cabanas are the best, especially, you know, we're both here in Las Vegas, so that's kind of part of the way of life out here.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this. Kim, wonderful information. This is the kind of information that you do want to have. It is that time. I mean, it couldn't be any more relevant than it is right now, this time of year. We're all out in the sun. We're exposed to the sun. And whether you're not or whether you are out in the sun, remember, take the protection. Look into healthy sunscreens. Wear a wide-brimmed hat, loose clothing. Keep my idea for the little sleeve you might want to put over your arm when you're in the window, or like Kim suggested, use a good quality sunscreen. You know, look towards some internal nutrients like astaxanthin and beta carotene and lycopene and resveratrol and green tea, some of those wonderful nutrients. Make sure your body is well hydrated. If you are using a sunscreen, look for a natural sunscreen. Put it on in the morning. And do some of these wonderful things. I think that will make your body so much healthier so you can actually get the benefits of the sun. Remember to go to my radio show page at Radio MD. Look for Talk Healthy Today for the on-demand podcast of the show. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.